Support for the Closing Market Report podcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments at adm.com/farmerview.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 10th day of July 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vake. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. We'll look at the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Logansport, Indiana, and hear all about the weather forecast, some heat that is due for next week from Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And from Daryl Good, he says that soybeans need to slow down their summer usage or that price, well, has to go higher. One of the two things needs to happen as we make our way through this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Let's check the numbers as they settled up in Chicago for Wednesday afternoon. July contract for the soft red winter wheat was down 3.5 cents. The settlement price there at $6.72. The September at $6.79, a penny and a half higher. And December wheat at $6.92 3/4 in Chicago, up 2 1/4. July harvest month up 5 1/4 at $7.12 for the hard red in Kansas City. July corn futures in the near term, $7.09 3/4, up 5 3/4 from Chicago. September at $5.53 3/4 in the corn pit, up 2 cents. And December corn at $5.21 1/2, a penny, rather just a quarter of a cent lower. The March futures unchanged at $5.33 1/2. And May corn of next year at $5.40 3/4, down 1/4. July off 1/4 as well at $5.47 1/4. July soybeans, $15.91 3/4, 21 1/2 cents lower. August down 3 1/2 at $14.64 3/4. And September futures, $13.29, up 6 1/2 cents. November beans, 8 1/2 higher at $12.84 3/4. January at $12.89 1/2, up 8. And the March of next year at $12.86 3/4, 5 3/4 higher in the bean pit. Bean meal futures trading $5.20.50 for the July, down 30 cents. August at $4.49.70, up 80 cents. July bean oil at $47.98, a dime lower. Live cattle futures finished up the August at $122.07 1/2. That's down 65 cents. August feeders at $150.55, down 60. And July lean hogs at $101.92 1/2 were up $1.07 1/2. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures trading the August contract at $105.99 a barrel, $2.46 higher. RBOB gasoline at $2.99 9/10, that's up 7 3/10, and ethanol trading $2.44 3/10, a penny and 7/10 higher. The difference between those two is now 55 6/10 cents. That's 5 6/10 wider than it was yesterday. USDA, or rather the ultra-low sulfur diesel, that's ULSD in New York, now trading at $2.99 1/2, a penny higher for the day. And natural gas at $3.66 9/10, that's a penny and 1/10 higher. Gold futures finished up at $1,247.40 an ounce, $1.50 higher, and the dollar at 84.04 is down 0.53 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. For the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon, should see a few isolated showers, some thunderstorms, partly sunny otherwise. A high of 85 degrees this afternoon. On a north-northwest wind at about 15 miles an hour, at a gust to 21. Chance of precipitation yet at 20%. Tonight, mostly clear, a low of 61. North winds at 6 to 11. And then tomorrow, sunny for Thursday. A beautiful day with a high of just 82. 2 degrees at 6 to 10 mile an hour north wind, and mostly clear on Thursday night, a low of 57, a northeast wind at 5 to 9. Friday, sunny skies and 81, east winds at 7 miles an hour. Mostly clear Friday night and a low of 59. Saturday, sunny and 84. Saturday night, clear and 64. And Sunday, sunny skies and 87 degrees. Partly cloudy on Sunday evening and 68. And to start the work week, mostly sunny and a high near 89. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City will join us.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is the 10th day of July, 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us from Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County is Jackie Vex. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Let's start with the marketplace in Chicago. And maybe we ought to start with the WASDE numbers, which are due out tomorrow at 11 a.m. Central Time.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be an interesting report because when you basically look at the world numbers, there's very little variation there from what we saw last month. The biggest variation in the entire report comes on the expectations for the U.S. numbers, dropping 12 carryout from 769 down to 725 and 13 carryout from 1949 down to 1896. You know, I think that the main thing that most people are going to be looking for is to see if there's any adjustment to yields. You know, we were given the acreage numbers. I believe, you know, when you listen to people talk and everything else, they're all expecting to see a lot of drop in the corn yield and that would actually bring that production number lower. And I myself don't think that that's necessarily true. I think when you look at the USDA and the fact that they use trend line yields based on crop progress, in other words, we were very slow on that, but then based on crop ratings, which are pretty darn high, they may not do anything on this report at all other than leave it the way it is, just because of the fact that they have that opportunity. Then they don't necessarily have enough information. Now, on the bean side of things, I think we could actually see the bean number for 13 maybe from a yield standpoint go down just slightly, but it's going to be a long morning until we get to 11 o'clock.
Will it be a quiet morning or just a long morning waiting?
Well, it won't necessarily be a quiet morning. You're certainly going to have people calling in. We had a lot of people calling in today about covering 14 crop insurance for February just because they're fearful, you know, that if we really do pull this crop out of the hat, that we're going to find ourselves in a position where 14 is going to be in a world of hurt when it comes time for next February. But you know, we just don't know where we're at. The weather is really what it comes down to.
And will it be weather next week, the following week, the week after that? I suppose all three, but you tell me.
Well, I think it's when you looked at the planting, the expectation would be that we'd probably see moving into about 40% of the crop coming into a pollination stage sometime within this time frame of the next 2 weeks. Everything's going to depend upon where it was planted, what state, what their growing degree days are, all of those types of things. But no matter who you start to talk to now, you know, there's good pollination going on, coming on in Illinois. There's pollination coming on all over. Of course, anything early planted is probably well pollinated already and has had more than enough moisture. The question comes down to, do we have enough moisture in the ground to be able to provide a good pollination experience for this plant? And therefore, a good crop.
Do we know what's been happening in the Delta region at all? Are they putting a good crop together for both corn and soybeans down there? Have you talked to anybody?
I talked to one of our Mississippi producers today, and he said, you know, there's not going to be any super early crop like we saw last year coming out of the Delta. He said, you know, they've been off. The weather has certainly not been great. Beans are okay, but not for them. And so, you know, we really have depended on the Delta for years now to provide us with that early crop. We know from last year when we had 1.7 billion bushels harvested before September 1st, that on average we're usually around 500 to 550 million. The question this year will be, is that going to happen or not?
Hey, can you come back to the futures directly and maybe talk a bit about the spreads and what I call the gap area? You know, that would be August, September, October, but and maybe the difference between the September and the December corn contracts, those sorts of things.
Well, you know, when you look at the September contract at 553 3/4, July going to be expiring at the end of this week, going off. Right now it's at 709 3/4, you know, so we've got about, what, $1.56 spread there. I would expect that most people are going to think that September futures are going to climb. I think we need to be cautious because when you look at the price and you go back and you look at the difference between the May and July contract, we, you know, for a long time, July got beat up, and it was very difficult for people to understand that. But this morning when I was talking to some of the folks in Illinois, we're seeing $1.55 over the September at this point in time for cash corn, which puts it pretty much equivalent with where the July crop is or the July futures are. And therefore, you know, that may hold down the September contract for a period of time. And then on the flip side, you know, if you're not paying attention to what basis is doing, if we saw the September futures really take off tomorrow, do we think basis is going to take off with it? I think we'll actually see basis kind of back down somewhat. But the old crop corn situation is, there's no question, it's extremely tight. I think the wild card is wheat. Everywhere you talk, guys have had nothing but problems with rain on mature wheat, which creates feed wheat, and then becomes a competitor for corn. And then people will say, you know, well, how can it be a competitor for corn when it's that much more expensive? As feed wheat, it's not going to be that much more expensive. And so I just think that the word is cautious, and that's what we have to be as we move forward in this marketplace.
Is it? And I think one of the analysts told me this recently. It may have been yesterday, in fact. I just don't recall. Is it with the September corn contract that because the delivery is at the end of the month, the expectation some might have that it would move higher really just gets pushed farther back, and it has to be done by basis, because by the time the end of the month comes around, we're probably likely at least into mid-harvest from the south and early harvest from the northern regions.
Well, you know, and when you say the end of the month, you're talking about the end of August, not the end of July.
No, the September contract. For corn. I'm sorry, I switched back to futures for corn for you.
Yeah, well, futures for corn, I mean, the September contract, basically, we see first notice day at the end of August. And so, you know, we have about 6 weeks to trade on that, or 6 or 7 weeks to trade on it yet. And I think the idea of the basis situation is one, and I think, you know, as a business person, they're very smart. Why not make the basis better? Give us the ability to try and get some of the grain in our hands, and that gives us the ability to sell the futures and keep it from getting out of control. And we saw the same thing on the July contract, Todd, where it was held down for so long until the farmer finally said, I'm not selling anymore. And then we saw the July contract rebound. I think we could see the same type of thing in the September contract. You know, so we do have September options that will go off the third week in August. And so we have a lot of things going on. So technically, I guess you'd have to say the major trading times are probably 4 to 5 weeks from now. But that should give it enough time to be able to figure out what it has to do.
Turn your attention to the cattle market, where both the live cattle and the feeder cattle have been up at the top end of their range.
They certainly have. And, you know, when you saw the cattle right now, it's very interesting. You know, they still have continued concerns about demand. Will the consumer continue to pay or be willing to pay the kind of prices that they're asking? We haven't had the strongest cash market, but it is only Wednesday. The Choice Select, now, if you remember back a number of weeks ago, we were talking about a Choice Select where we had 21 select or choice animals for every one select. Right now, we only have 8.5 choice animals for every select animal. So we've moved through those heavy, really well-finished cattle, and now we have more green cattle. Ultimately, what that means is there'll probably continue to be pressure on the futures, because anytime they have to pay for more select than choice animals, anytime it's below 10 to 1, the price is always going to be somewhat depressed. And when you look at hogs, you know, we've seen a lot of short covering. We had pushed down, but we're still $8 below the index. And now, don't take that wrong. $8 below the index, the basis in hogs at this point in time in many areas is $9 below the index. And so from that standpoint, you'd have to look at the hog futures and say, hey, you know, they could possibly even lose a little more unless cash goes higher. But always an interesting market, and I'm sure all the end users are going to be watching tomorrow to see what's going on.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey, that's Jackie Vex. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Joins us on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. You can always hear again on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Or if you just want to dial in for voicemail, you can do that at 217-333-3434.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Your Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media, David Dickey, is here now. He'll take us through the agricultural news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, eight major meat packer and livestock groups from the U.S. and Canada are suing USDA to block implementation of new country of origin labeling rules for meat. USDA issued new rules in late May for labeling meat cuts following a World Trade Organization ruling last year that the old cool rule discriminated against livestock from Canada and Mexico. Those two countries have already announced that they will challenge the new labeling rule with the WTO once again. USDA officials have said since March that the Obama administration believes the new rules would be considered compliant with the WTO. The new rule requires more information on where each of the production steps, born, raised, and slaughtered, occurred. Retailers are prevented from commingling muscle cuts from different countries and packaging. The meat groups argue in their court filing that the new cool requirements violate the U.S. Constitution and amount to the government compelling speech by the packers and retailers, but the compelled speech does not serve a governmental interest. Groups joining the lawsuit include the American Association of Meat Processors, American Meat Institute, Canadian Cattlemen's Association, Canadian Pork Council, National Cattlemen's Beef Association, National Pork Producers Council, North American Meat Association, and Southwest Meat Association. Louisiana Republican Senator David Vitner said yesterday that he will not delay a Senate vote now on President Barack Obama's pick to lead the Environmental Protection Agency after securing a deal to boost transparency at the agency. Vitner has been one of the biggest obstacles to the nomination. In a letter to Vitner Tuesday, the EPA agreed to obtain data used in its air pollution studies and convene an expert panel to review how it estimates the costs and benefits of pollution rules. China's trade declined abruptly in June. Exports fell by 3.1% compared with a year earlier, and imports contracted by 0.7%. A decline in Chinese economic activity could have global repercussions, denting revenues for suppliers of commodities and industrial components such as Australia, Brazil, and Southeast Asia. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. That second program we post to our website by about 6 o'clock each and every Friday evening, Central Time, USA. Now, up next, USDA says the supply of soybeans will be very short by summer's end. Too short, as you'll hear, if the nation doesn't slow down consumption. The minimum number of bushels of a commodity left at the end of the year is sometimes called pipeline level. And generally, it's thought to be about 5% of the projected annual usage. This year, for soybeans, the pipeline may be a little tighter, say 4%, or about 125 million bushels, says University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good.
It really is. USDA's been at that 125 million carryover since February. And I, as you say, I think that's minimum pipeline. It can't really go any lower than that. I guess theoretically you could, but USDA will not project anything lower than that prior to seeing the September stocks report.
Well, the September grain stocks report is the last one of the marketing year, the fiscal year for grain and oil seeds like corn and soybeans. It will put a number on how many bushels of each commodity is left over from the last season. There will be some left over. This is because the market will price those last precious bushels very high in order to stretch the supply until the new harvest arrives. Again, the current USDA projections point to 125 million bushel ending stocks number for the soybeans on September the 1st. Well, as of June 1st, soybean stocks in the nation were at the lowest level in 9 years. And Darrell Good suggests, as he wrote in a recent article for the University of Illinois Farm Doc website, the pace of the domestic crush, soybean use, will have to slow substantially this summer to hit that 125 target. It means, the Illinois Ag Economist goes on in the article to say, the cash price of soybeans this summer will remain well supported. That's longhand for high. However, Good says there is considerably more uncertainty as it relates to the price of new crop soybeans, the crop now growing. Soybeans are an August crop, meaning their yield is determined greatly by late summer weather. There then is still some time for the market to feel its way towards an equilibrium for the price of new crop soybeans. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
This is the Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Let's check the cash grain market. Stephen Linneberg is on the phone line from the Anderson's Climbers facility in Logansport, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Stephen.
How are we doing, guys?
Oh, doing really well here. Tell me about basis there for old crop corn. Has it jumped substantially?
Absolutely, absolutely. Seen we're seem to be climbing a nickel to a dime every day, just until guys can get kind of more comfortable with where they feel in their inventory, especially as we get into that month of August.
Man, what is it today?
Right now we are $1.50 over the September, which puts us at the close at 7.04 cash.
And has that prompted anybody to make an old crop sale?
Absolutely. Triggered quite a bit of farmer selling today. We start to see, that small amount of what we think is left on the farm starting to show its face as we get past that. It seems that $7 has been the threshold. We put a 7 in front of the cash price, and it certainly has given guys an opportunity to capture a little more profit than what they initially expected.
Are grain elevators operators more patient than the farmers on this one?
Very much so, because I think that's where a majority of the old bushels will remain.
And it will remain there until what, an 8 shows up?
Very much so. I think they're a little more of a position where that's where the volumes are, in terms of your large bushel quantities, that I think if knowing where they feel in terms of their supply, what they have to arrive is shorter than what they initially expected, I think they see that as an opportunity to feel basis improving. Although we're $1.50 now, very well they see it potentially getting to the $1.70-$1.80 range, with a shortage of old crop corn.
Okay, and your bids for the day, new and old crop?
New crop, obviously 7.04 cash at Climbers. New crop for Ocno delivery corn is 5.06.5 cash.
All right.
Bean wise, we are to Delphi, we are 15.74 and 3/4 old crop, and new crop would be 12.55 cash, and wheat we are 6.69 cash.
All right, thanks so much, Stephen.
All right, thank you guys.
Stephen Linneberg is with the Anderson's Climbers facility in Logansport, joins us on the Closing Market Report back in just 2 minutes.
It's National Pina Colada Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1720, Mrs. Clements invented a method of preparing mustard flour or powder, which was known for a long time as Durham mustard. Up until then, mustard was made into balls with honey and or vinegar and then mixed with more vinegar when needed. Mrs. Clements extracted the full flavor of mustard seed by grinding it in a mill and then using similar processes used to making wheat flour. In 1930, the highest temperature ever recorded in the U.S. was in Death Valley, California, 134 degrees Fahrenheit. In 1920, Edward H. Lowe was born. He invented a new kitty litter in 1947. Before then, ashes were often used, but left sooty cat prints all over the house. Lowe filled 10 brown bags with absorbent clay, called Fuller's Earth, and labeled the bags kitty litter. The rest is history. 7 decades later, his company was the largest U.S. producer of cat box filler. In 1989, Mel Blanc died. Blanc was the man of 1,000 voices, including Bugs Bunny, Tweety Bird, Porky Pig, Daffy Duck, and Sylvester the Cat. By the way, Blanc was allergic to carrots. What's up, Doc? And in 1999, Aaron Bunny Lappin died. Lappin was the inventor of whipped cream in an aerosol can. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Support for WILL comes from Bates Commodities, AgriGold, The Andersons, Wisconsin Plastic Drain and Tile, Strategic Farm Marketing, and Farm Credit Services. Thanks to these businesses for their support of WILL agricultural programs.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us, Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Drew, thanks for taking the time with us. A little rainfall here today. What's the weather forecast look like as we go forward for the Midwest?
Well, it's that calm before the dry storm in this case. I think there's a lot of concern out there about the next week with drier and warmer than usual conditions evolving across a big part of the Midwest. The cold front that went through the eastern part of the Midwest and continues to work its way away from our region now is going to take most of the precipitation out of the forecast for a little while. We will see a high pressure ridge beginning to build up across portions of the plains as we go into the end of this week while we enjoy some tranquil weather with some sunshine and a little bit less humid air and temperatures mostly in the 80s. There will be a few 70s in the northern parts of the Midwest over these next 2 or 3 days. But that ridge of high pressure that's going to build up across the plains is what everyone's going to be watching because it is going to build into the western Corn Belt. And as we get into the late weekend and the first part of next week, there should be a lot of heat building up across portions of the western belt and a lot of dryness. In fact, over the next 7 days, portions of Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska, even southern Wisconsin and northwestern and west central Illinois will probably not see much more than 1/4 inch of rain, and a lot of areas will be left mostly dry. Temperatures will start to warm up. We'll get back into some 90s across many of these areas. And there's some models out there that suggest maybe temperatures over 100 degrees will pop up in western Iowa by the time we get to the early part of next week. The eastern Midwest, though, will see relatively quiet conditions. We'll see precipitation returning to the forecast towards the latter part of next week. And we'll likely see a steady warming trend take place through the work week itself.
As you look forward past next week in that 7 to 10 day range and get into the 4th and 5th week of the month of July, is what we're seeing in the 3rd week a setup of warmer and drier weather then? Because that's when most of the corn will actually pollinate.
Exactly. And it looks like there will be a cool front coming in from Canada, perhaps at the end of next week, going into the following weekend, that will cool us down. We'll have a chance for some more showers and thunderstorms across a part of the region, and then we'll start to heat up again. Now, the next time we warm up, which will put us in the last week of July, we shouldn't be quite as warm as what I think we'll see here early this coming week. So the bottom line is we'll continue seesawing back and forth. There should not be any blocking ridge of high pressure, but we will have a warmer temperature bias, and what rain that does fall will probably not be sufficient in seriously bolstering moisture into the soil, but it should be supportive of pollination.
Drew, it's always good to you. Thank you for taking the time with us today.
Thank you, and have a good afternoon.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. That wraps up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.